Hey everybody, it is Darren Chef. Yes, Darren Chef. Today we're going to talk about my song, If It Were You, that landed on, yes, the band Chicago's 21st record. So yeah, Chicago has all their albums numbered. There might be a couple here and there, but 21 was my record. And when I say my record, I just mean that my song landed on there. My song, If It Were You. And, you know, what's really funny is people always say, how did you get a song on a record? Your brother, he's the singer of that band, my brother Jason Chef. That must have been easy. But I got to tell you, you know, when I wrote that song, when we wrote that song, that was in an era of pop music when people like Diane Warren were writing the hits and were on a roll. And when these people were on this roll, man, I mean, they were getting songs cut left and right. They were writing some big pop hits. You can go Google her and you can go see her repertoire. I mean, it's ridiculous. So she was just one of many LA songwriters that were all fighting to get cuts on these records. Those were the days, you know, where, you know, these little breakdown services would go around and people would see, you know, hey, this movie's looking for songs and these artists are looking for songs. And they're looking for songs for their upcoming movies, TV shows, records, whatever was going on. And then you had your inside kind of, you had your inside avenues, you know, like, wow. So obviously I know somebody in the band Chicago. So my chances are a little bit better. But remember this. A lot of guys in the band Chicago. Lots of people writing songs. Lots of people wanting to get songs on the record. And one of the interesting things. So this is probably 1990. And records are getting popped out left and right. Pop records. Everybody, Michael Bolton's doing records, Chicago's doing records, Cher's doing records. Everybody in the sun, Richard Marx, everybody's out there. There's a big pop great thing happening out of those late 80s. And so here comes Chicago 21. Everybody under the sun is fighting to get a cut on Chicago 21. So you have the band members all fighting to get a song on there. And then you have outside writers trying to get songs on there. So my brother comes to me and he says, hey, he said, do you want to get a song on this next record? Or do you want to have a good shot at getting a song on this next record? And I said, yeah, yeah. And I was writing so many ballads. I was like, that was my thing. Beautiful ballads. You can hear some of my ballads out there. Safe Back in Your Arms. Boy, that's like a big song that I wrote back in the day. People love it. They still love it. I get a lot of attention with that. But I have a list of ballads that people absolutely love. And my brother says, hey, everybody's trying to write the next Hard Habit to Break. And he was right, because think about it. You had Chicago with David Foster and Peter Cetera that had these huge hits. Hard Habit to Break, You're the Inspiration. They go into the big change when my brother Jason Chef comes in, replaces Peter Cetera. Peter Cetera is no longer there, so my brother's filling some pretty big shoes. Man, by the way, he delivered, didn't he? Wow, Will You Still Love Me? That was just one of the big hits on that record that he sang. And that in itself was quite remarkable. You know, I've watched my brother perform since I was a kid, and, you know, I could get nervous for him, but for some reason, he always pulled it off. He had some magic behind him. And under this most crazy pressure style environment, that guy could get it done. And so here he was. He sang his big hit, you know, Will You Still Love Me? He knocked that out of the ballpark. And Chicago really needed that. I mean, what an amazing time, you know. Peter Cetera leaves. They don't know how people are going to accept things. They have no clue on what's going to happen. So they bring my brother in. he knocks it out of the ballpark. If It Were You, boom, there's their next big hit. It keeps Chicago on the charts. They're going. And by the way, Chicago's legacy is incredible. So I'm not saying, oh, my brother, look at him. Look what he did. I mean, it was a combination. Obviously, you had David Foster, all these incredible musicians, Mike Landau, Steve Lukather, all these insane dudes on these records. Tom Keene, all my buddies. Mike Landau, you know, just these ridiculous musicians on these things. Bill Champlin, right? Jason Scheff singing these background vocals. Anyway, I get excited about that. I think about it. So my brother, he says to me, hey, everybody's trying to write the next hard habit to break. And they were. Everybody wanted that big ballad because that's what they were getting airplay with at the time. He goes, we need up-tempo. Nobody's submitting up-tempo songs. He goes, so focus on up-tempo. So my writing partner at the time, Tony Smith, me and him were like glued together. We wrote a lot of songs together. He was actually one of David Foster's programmers and worked for David doing a lot of programming and pulling up sounds for David. So as genius as David Foster is, you know, he had these awesome programmer guys and keyboard wizard guys like Tony Smith. And Tony, man, he's incredible, man. He did a lot of stuff, you know, over the years with different people, Barbara Streisand, you know, with David Foster and all kinds of people. And so we were on a roll. We were writing a lot of songs together. So he came over to my my little guest house one day, and boom, he had this little idea, and we started going to town at it, but it was up-tempo. So we knew we needed something up-tempo. We weren't going to compete with all the balladeers out there, man. They were out there writing ballads left and right. They wanted the next hard habit to break, and we were just thinking, God, I'd be thrilled just to get a cut on a Chicago record, you know? So our odds of getting something on their up-tempo were going to be a lot greater than trying to get another ballad on there. So the two of us went to town. He came up with this little idea, started singing melodies, started working out some additional parts, some other musical parts, started kind of coloring things in a little bit. And then we call my brother up, and we get a hold of Jason, and he hears us, and he loves it, right? He's like, that's it. That's what we need. So he takes it. This, by the way, Ron Nevison, incredible producer. He was producing Chicago 21. So he takes it. My brother Jason takes it over to Ron Nevison. And Ron Nevison hears it and he goes, I love it, you know, because here it is, this beautiful up-tempo song. And all of a sudden, everybody gets excited. Well, not only was it up-tempo, but it had some really catchy things going on, catchy melodies, big hooks. And man, we get that sucker in there and everybody lit up. They go, that's what we need. That's up-tempo. That's it. That's great. They got pumped up. And we had created these horn parts. Tony was great at, you know, all that stuff, pulling up these great sounds. And he had a good sense of Chicago. So, you know, he'd program really cool little horn parts and things like that. And I made my own attempt at trying to do some of that stuff, too. And I had fun at it. But so the two of us just tried to emulate our demos as best we could, even though James Pankow was going to come in and really do some monster horn parts. But anyway, so back to Nevison. Nevison hears it. I love it. It's exciting. He goes, let's cut it. Let's do it. So, man, they wrote horn charts for it. They did the whole deal. They rehearsed it. And boom, they went in and there was the song. It was recorded. Next thing you know, they recorded it. And here's what's amazing. So get this. So they record my song. And not only did they record my song, but my best friend at the time, John Keane, incredible drummer, he did all the music for CSI. And I mean all the little takeoff shows of CSI. I'm talking about the original CSI. He did all the music for that. And but he was an incredible musician. He was a drummer. Guess what? He played drums on that song. So, and then there's my brother, of course, singing on it. So this gets really great for me. Not only do I get a song on a Chicago record, I mean, let's get serious. Chicago is like, all right, you're going to get a cut on a record? Woo! Everybody knows Chicago, right? I'm pumped up. Robert Lamb, the horn players. This is good stuff. My brother's on this. Now, John Keane, my best friend, he's playing drums on it. Can't get any better than that. And John Keane, he played on a lot of stuff. Cher, Michael Bolton, obviously Chicago, I can't even think of all the stuff. Richard Marx played on a bunch of his hits. And so I got him on drums on that. Michael Landau's playing guitar on it. I mean, let's get serious. And I had hung out with Michael through my brother and through, you know, all these guys and socially. But to have these guys playing on your song is a whole nother ballgame. So here's Michael Landau, man, on my song. My best friend's playing drums. My brother Jason programmed the bass parts. I think it was Steve Picardo that they called in to play the bass parts. It was either Mike or I can't remember which one. I think it was Steve. But so they're there, and I guess the story is that Jason, they go, hey, you know, Jason's a bass player, but they wanted a synth bass part on, kind of like we played on the demo. But Jason ended up playing the synth bass part. He was kind of laughing, going, wow, so how did you, I got Steve Picardo here, one of the Picardos, and you want me to play synth bass? And anyway, my brother ended up playing synth bass on it. Of course, he sings it and just slays the thing. And then, you know, to hear the Chicago horn section on your song is really an exciting thing in itself. So all this happened by us not trying to write the next Hard Habit to Break. Now, of course, you know, every album for Chicago needs a 25 or 6-4. Now, I wouldn't put my song at that caliber, of course, but the fact that we did, they needed up tempo. And, you know, so that was a time when a lot of synths were big, and it was a late 80s going into the 90s. So, you know, synths were really big. And looking back, wouldn't that have been cool to have like a real up tempo rock song on a Chicago record? Man, I mean, that's just a timing thing, but at any rate, like a real, like a 25 or 6-4, big guitars. It was just all timing. Those were synth days. So, but at any rate, so there it was, folks. That's how it all went down. And this gets even better. So, by the way, the demo, I want to back up to the demo. Tony Smith worked for David Foster. So David Foster graciously says, you want to use my studio to demo the song? And we're like, yeah, isn't that funny? Back then, man, everybody just was so willing to help you just do anything. It wasn't like, how much money do you got? It was just like, yeah, come on in. Next thing I know, man, I got Woody Woodruff, who's just an incredible engineer, who did all this incredible stuff with Julio Iglesias, Barbara Streisand. Yeah, I mean, man, you name it. Neil Diamond, all kinds of huge people. And he's in there recording my demo. And by the way, so we go into David Foster's studio at Chartmaker out in Malibu. And I'm sitting there going, man, I'm in the studio with David Foster's engineer, and we're demoing my song up. This is before Chicago got a hold of it, right? So, and then here comes Dwayne Bailey. Dwayne Bailey comes popping in the studio, and he's playing guitar on this dang thing. And I'm just telling you, we're having the time of our lives. We're in David Foster's studio, and we're just laying these tracks down. And by the way, we didn't even have the second verse written yet, the lyrics. We know we're going to go in and cut the song, but we needed to just get our demo done. I don't know. I don't even know how it fell into place, but we just didn't. We went in. David let us use the studio. We didn't have the lyrics finished. I just remember going in there, and we got our track all done. We're going, wow, this is awesome. And then we needed a lyric. So my brother and, if I remember correctly, my brother and Tony were in the vocal booth, and they kind of hammered out some lyrics for that second verse. They got it done. Or maybe it was the bridge. I can't remember. Maybe it was both. Hey. But anyway, we got it done. Isn't that funny? The 11th hour, just sitting there. Hey, we need some lyrics. Let's do it. So we ended up doing it. We got it done. And that was, what a fun day. I love listening to that demo. You can still hear that demo. It's out there on YouTube somewhere. And just, you can just, you know, search for If It Were You demo, Chicago demo. You'll hear it. And it was all the stuff that myself and Tony programmed on our MPC Lin drum machines, man. They were incredible. And but anyway, so that's kind of the story of If It Were You. And it landed on that record. I had another song on there that was supposed to go on there that I wrote with Robert Lamb. And it's called Everything But You. And that never made it to the record. It was supposed to, but some crazy thing happened in the middle of it. And the band rehearsed it, sadly enough. At the end, it didn't make it, but that's a cool little demo, too. You can find that out there if you YouTube Everything But You, Darren Chef, Robert Lamb. You'll hear it. And But it's a cool demo. And what an honor that I got to even have a song written with Robert, let alone having his little vocal on my demo, is really quite remarkable. Because he, in my opinion, really, over the years of being around Chicago, was, for me, always like the sweetest guy on the planet. Always was so kind and respectful around me and my family. It was amazing, man. He was a really wonderful guy out there for us. And so I got to put that out there for Robert. Thank you, Robert, if you ever hear this, man. And, but yeah, that's kind of the story of If It Were You. So I got more of these things coming, these stories. So enjoy that one. Pass it around to your friends. And we'll hook you up with some new stories pretty soon. Thank you.